This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
Pacific Daylight Time is 10 p.m. Time for news.
CBS News. The Ford administration has abandoned its efforts to compromise with Congress on energy conservation. I'm Jerry Landay reporting on the CBS radio network. We are extremely disappointed. Those words from Federal Energy Administrator Frank Zarb marked the first reaction from the Ford administration to Wednesday night's House vote, killing the president's plan for a gradual rise in energy prices over 39 months. Zarb said he has no alternative but to prepare for the expiration of present controls on domestic oil August 31st. When that happens, Zarb estimates petroleum prices will rise about 4 to 6 cents a gallon over the next 6 months or so, and that will mean consumers will be paying substantially more for all the energy they use, from gasoline to electricity, before year's end. More CBS News in a moment.
There's a little town in western Pennsylvania called Oil City where they make peace of mind for car owners. Quaker State Motor Oil. They refine it from Pennsylvania-grade crude oil, the world's choicest. Then they fortify it to protect your engine against heat and rust and dirt and wear. Quaker State, the number one selling motor oil. Who says you can't buy peace of mind?
Quaker State, your car.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
President Ford has Thursday morning breakfast a few hours from now with Turkish Prime Minister Süleyman Demirel in Helsinki, Finland. The president to explore what can be done to salvage American-Turkish relations and American bases on Turkish soil. The president of the AFL-CIO, George Meany, says he supports the decision of the International Longshoremen's Association not to load grain ships bound for Russia until they assess the impact of the sales on domestic food prices. There's continued concern in the Midwestern and Plain states over the lack of rain. Prolonged dry weather and sun continue to sear what had been heralded as a bumper corn crop. Higher grain prices on American commodities markets have led one of the nation's largest millers, General Mills, to raise wholesale flour prices about a penny and a half a pound. The price increase affects flour bought on grocery shelves, not flour used by commercial bakers for bread. Secretary of the Treasury William Simon Wednesday became the first administration spokesman to acknowledge that the Russian sales, coupled with unfavorable crop developments in this country, could push domestic grain prices higher. The Watergate special prosecutor Henry Ruth intends to bring his work to a close soon if he has his way. Wednesday, Ruth and his predecessor, Leon Jaworski, appeared before the Senate Government Operations Committee to oppose a bill creating a permanent special prosecutor's office. Fred Graham reports.
Jaworski argued that with Watergate over, it would be difficult to get good people to serve as special prosecutors because they just wouldn't be needed.
That there is to be an occasional outcropping of corrupt practices is to be expected. But this alone, in my view, does not warrant the creation of the office of public attorney.
Henry Ruth said an unsupervised special prosecutor might himself create Watergate-type scandals.
I wouldn't be surprised if 5 years or so after you had your permanent special prosecutor, there would be hearings of this or other committees as to why he had abused his power.
Their testimony appeared to puncture the prospects for a permanent prosecutor and left unanswered who will deal with the so-called Little Watergates, the FBI burglaries, CIA abuses, and other governmental excesses. Fred Graham, CBS News, Washington.
News continues after this.
The wheels are rolling. People are buying cars. And Chrysler Corporation's gonna keep it that way.
That away, Joe.
This time, it's a nationwide sale on new 1975 cars and trucks. You can get $300 cash back on full-size Chryslers, $300 cash back on Dodge Coronets and Monacos, and on Plymouth Grand Furies and Small Furies, and $200 cash back on Plymouth Dusters and Valiants.
Terrific, Joe! Hey, Joe,
listen, yeah, folks, we did it before, and we can do it again. This time, it's $200 cash back on Dodge Dart, Plymouth Voyager, Dodge Sportsman, Dodge two-wheel drive pickups and vans. We've got the cars and trucks that are priced to move. So come on down to your participating Dodge or Chrysler Plymouth dealer. This time, it's a nationwide sale.
We did it before, we'll do it again.
For retail customers only.
Watchers of the Supreme Court have been speculating about the intentions of Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas ever since he suffered a serious stroke the end of last year. Now, Douglas's intentions are known. He'll be released from a New York City hospital next week, will spend the rest of the summer at his home in Washington State, and plans to be back on the bench when the Supreme Court reconvenes in October. Douglas is 76. Jack Robertson, the paraplegic marathon swimmer from Elyria, Ohio, is back in Britain, alive and well, after an 18-hour battle to swim the English Channel. But he was fighting adverse tides most of the way, abandoned the swim just a half mile from the French coast. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
Stay tuned for CBS Radio Mystery Theater. A quick look now at sports results. In baseball in the American League, Milwaukee 6, Boston 2, Cleveland 3, Baltimore 1, New York Yankees 2, Detroit 1. In the National League, it was Pittsburgh over Philadelphia 8-1, Cincinnati beat San Francisco 6-1, Los Angeles 8, Atlanta 2, St. Louis 5, the New York Mets 2, Houston 8, San Diego 4, Montreal 6, Chicago Cubs 1. Temperature in downtown Seattle at 63 degrees at 61 at SeaTac Airport. Look for cloudy nights and mornings, partly sunny afternoons. Now the creaking door opens on a new tale of suspense on CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Here's your host, E.G. Marshall.
Your Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Before you joined me, I was sitting thinking of all the murders, mayhem, and malevolence I have brought to you in the name of mystery. Suddenly, in this unaccustomed mellow mood, I thought upon the obverse side of the coin, the antithesis of the devil's advocates, the ministers of God. And it occurred to me that as much terror and suspense are contained in the mystery and magic that is invested in them by a higher power, a greater force, only this time not a force for evil. So I thought a story from the other point of view might be interesting for a change.
Nurse! Nurse! Somebody! Help! Help!
What is it, Miss Riggs? What's happened?
Chaplain Morgan, he just suddenly collapsed. Is he... dead, Dr. Shelton?
Nurse, take care of the patient. Orderly, send me another nurse from the floor, quickly.
What is it, Liz? What happened to Dan?
I don't know yet, Mike.
Well, so help me if anything has. This one I'm pinning directly on that cold fish, Dr. Hugh Bradley. Our mystery drama, He Moves in a Mysterious Way, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Terry Keane. It is sponsored in part by Sinoff, the sinus medicines, and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sinoff?
Exactly.
Compare sign-off tablets with anything you've ever taken for sinus. No sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. Sign-off gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus drainer. Sign-off works fast to help sinus pain while you drain.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sign-off, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. Take when needed, only as directed.
Last month, I noticed my oldest boy. He seemed so much older. I spent a lot of time away from home, but boy, that was a shock. He's growing up without me. I figured if I was going to have any influence in his life at all, I'd better start now. So I set aside one night a week, and each week I take a different child, and we go and do whatever they want. And you know, it's amazing what it's done for the kids. And me.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, the worldwide trend today is toward a universal system of measurement, the metric system. The names of this new system may sound strange to you at first, but fortunately, there are only a few words that have to be learned for everyday use, and these are the millimeter, centimeter, meter, and kilometer for describing length and distance, the milliliter and liter for capacity or volume, the gram, kilogram, and ton for weight, the kilometer per hour for highway speed, and the degree Celsius or centigrade for temperature. You're already using some of these terms more than you may realize. For example, when you go to the supermarket, you see weights expressed in grams on more and more packaged items. Now, for more information on this whole metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
It was the 18th century poet William Cowper who gave us that familiar and wonderful quote, "God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform." This story is a reflection of that. Belleville Community Hospital, though located in the town of its name, services the entire county of Fairchild. It is the pride and joy of the five main towns and their smaller brothers and sisters who draw on its dependable service. But Belleville Hospital is stretched beyond its usual adequate capacity at this moment as a result of a train wreck on the line to New York.
This is Dr. Shelton. Just want to alert you, Brownie. We can expect 20 to 30 more casualties according to police estimates. Our patient facilities are already jammed, so we'll use the children's emergency section temporarily. In case of serious injuries that look surgical, refer all admissions to Dr. Bradley.
Nurse, I'm admitting this patient on the cart, Elizabeth Riggs.
I knew you'd have to, Dr. Bradley, Dr. so Shelton. I had her chart prepared.
Yes, very efficient, Doctor. My compliments to the outpatient department.
I want my service to satisfy the new chief of staff.
As long as it stays efficient, it will.
Dr. Bradley?
Yes, Dr. Bernardo.
They're screaming for you in OR.
You can hold the dramatics. I'm on my way. Better check out this patient in the meanwhile, Elizabeth Riggs. I've given her light sedation. She's pre-op. No need to diagnose her. I've already done that. Slight concussion, fractured patella, calcaneus, and some messy damage in the ankle to the fibular and tibial termini. You'll find it all on the chart. Well, I'm on my way to the OR.
I would like to take his chart.
Mike, remember who he is.
Sure. A genius at getting my back up. Come on, orderly. Let's go.
Fly easy, Paisan.
What do you want from a crazy Italian?
Liz, I got here as fast as I could. What is it?
Train wreck, Chaplain. Sorry to haul you out of bed in the middle of the night.
Only time anyone really needs a chaplain or a minister is when there's trouble.
You look a little under the weather. You all right?
Oh, just half asleep. I'm the last one to be worried about.
Not my leg! No! Not my leg!
What's going on in here, nurse? Miss Riggs.
I won't let them. I won't let anyone.
Miss Riggs.
Yes, I... Oh, you're the doctor
I
who...
treated you when you came in.
What's the matter with my arms?
You had to be put under restraint. It's imperative you stay as still as possible.
I can't, don't you see? I can't
Miss
until...
Riggs, you are not the only victim of the train wreck.
Train wreck? Oh, that's it. My leg! I lost my leg.
Now, don't be silly. You have some broken bones, but you have not lost your leg. Now, Give me that, nurse.
You're lying to me. I can't feel it.
Help me hold her, nurse. Now, where's Dr. Leonardo?
I'm here, doctor.
And you hold her. Now, lie still, Miss Higgs. We only want to help.
I don't want to be helped.
Sure you do, baby. That's what we're here for. You want to walk out of here as soon as possible, don't you?
Are you a surgeon?
Just hired help.
I'm the surgeon. Suave that, nurse. This is Dr. Bernardo.
If you're the surgeon, I want to know something. Why can't I feel anything where my left leg ought to be?
Because I immobilized it till Dr. McNeil, the orthopedist, has time to operate on it.
I don't believe you.
I haven't time to argue. I want to see you a moment, Dr. Bernardo. Now convince this grown-up child that she has two good legs, will you?
I'll try to the best of my limited ability.
I don't ask for any more than you have to give.
Why, you cold inhuman... Nurse, bring me that hand mirror from the bureau. Surest way to convince you, Miss Riggs. Let you see for yourself. Oh, thanks, nurse. You want to pull the bedclothes back? Okay. Now, see? One of them in a light plaster bandage cast, but both where they belong.
Oh. Why didn't Dr. Bradley show me that?
Well, he might have. You should have given him a chance instead of throwing a wingding.
Oh, I shouldn't have, but my legs are very special to me.
I can see where they would be.
I didn't mean the way they look.
Oh, neither did I. Although I wouldn't knock it. But I know you're a dancer.
It's my whole life. If I couldn't have... Oh, especially now.
Nothing to worry about at the moment.
But I've got... Oh, I feel woozy.
Well, that's the sedation.
What is that surgeon going to do to me?
You have a cracked kneecap and a broken ankle. He's going to fix them.
I don't want an operation.
We'll work that out when the time comes. You rest now and let the sedation work.
I don't want to be alone. I just wish that...
What?
You wouldn't understand. I'm scared. I think God is punishing me, and I want to... Oh, I don't know what I want.
There's a chaplain in the hospital. Reverend Dan Morgan, real good guy. Want to talk to him?
Could I? I know I can't sleep until... Would he have time for me?
Miss Riggs, Dan Morgan could be drawing his last breath, and he'd hold it till he got through helping anyone who needed him.
Come in.
You looking for me, Pat?
Mike Bernardo just called down, Dan. Could you talk to that dancer with the badly injured leg?
Sure, of course. About what?
She's fighting an operation, and she asked for a minister.
All right. Should she have the operation?
If she doesn't, she may never walk properly again. She could even lose it.
Oh.
Dan, you look tired. You don't look well. Maybe you should go home and rest.
When I'm needed? No, not in your life. What's the girl's name?
Elizabeth Riggs, room 317.
A dancer, you say, huh?
Yes.
Ballet?
Modern, I suppose, not classical.
But a professional?
Yes.
And if the operation is successful, will she dance again?
I doubt it.
And more than ever, she needs me. Yes, of course I'll see her. God's will be done. Hello, Elizabeth Riggs. I'm Chaplain Dan Morgan.
Oh, how good of you to come. Was I asleep?
For a while.
I'm sorry.
It was good for you.
Not good enough. I need help, Chaplain.
Help? Wireless.
I'm afraid of the operation. I think they want to cut off my leg or my foot.
Now, did they say they would?
No, but doctors never tell you.
Of course they do. No one thinks you're going to lose your leg.
I do.
Why?
Because I think God wants to punish me.
Punish you? What for?
There's a boy, Peter Sterrett. We were very much in love. That's what I went upstate for, to marry him.
And?
At the last moment, I couldn't. I ran out on the whole wedding, my parents, his, everyone. I took the train back to New York. That's why God punished me.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. There were 64 people in that train wreck. God's a little more efficient than that.
Now you make me feel ashamed.
I meant to. I don't believe in a God of vengeance who reaches out to hurt and punish. And neither should you, Liz. We make our own punishments.
Well, I didn't make the train wreck.
No, but you climbed aboard that train to run away.
But I had to. Chaplain Morgan, dancing isn't just a profession. It's a whole way of life. And that's what I realized at the last moment. I couldn't give it up to marry Peter.
Well, you said you loved him.
I do. It tore me apart to give him up, but I had to make the choice.
Child, why couldn't you have both?
Because Peter's a minister just like you. Can you imagine him running a parish with his wife in a Broadway show and cleavage down to my navel and net stockings up to my bikini?
Okay, Dan, buddy boy, I'm on my way. That was Dan. He's calmed our Terpsichorean terror, and she now is ready to sign for the operation. All right, give me a form, hon, and I'll go make sure she's prepped.
Well, here's your form. Just watch your own.
What's that mean?
You want to be a resident in surgery, don't you?
It's my life, outside of you.
Me you got. Just take it easy if Dr. Bradley's the surgeon.
Okay. So the guy gravels me. I'll try to stay out of his hair.
Mike, he's a new broom. Give him a chance to work in.
Oh, I'll be a good little soldier. Anything he can dish out, I can take.
That's my boy.
Just hold the good thought. Too bad it's neither sane nor sanitary for one doctor to kiss another. All right, take the wish for the deed. I love you. You can order the cart to take her up to the ready room, nurse. She's all cleared for OR. Oh, hi, Dan.
Hey, come stop, Paisa.
Good evening, Padre Mio. Hey, you don't look so hot.
Oh, I'm a little tired.
Why don't you hit the sack?
No, not till the action's over.
Hey, wait a minute. Maybe I ought to run a little check on you.
Oh, don't be silly. Why?
What are you rubbing your gut for?
Oh, come on, Mike. A little indigestion. Somebody sneaks some cucumber in my salad again.
No. You don't double over like that from cucumber. I'd better take
you. You were assisting Dr. McNeil?
Yes, Dr. Bradley, but...
And you ought to be up in the scrub room already. Now, let's go.
I was on my way, but the chaplain here needs a checkup.
The chaplain can take care of himself. Has Miss Riggs been prepped?
Yes, sir, but...
Get in the elevator, Doctor.
Yes, sir. Dr. Bradley? Yes, sir. Private Bernardo reporting for duty. But may I recommend that the chaplain be temporarily relieved from his.
Do you want to be relieved, chaplain?
Oh, come on, you have enough to worry about besides me.
Now, if you need a rest...
No. I think I'll go in and sit with that poor child when she's taken up to OR. She needs me more than I need anything. Well, how are you feeling, Liz?
I don't know. Far away, but still scared.
Oh, now you mustn't be.
I won't lose my leg.
You mustn't think about that.
Even if it's saved, will I dance again?
Whatever is to be, just leave it in God's hands.
It's so easy for you. Words, just words.
No, never just words, Liz. I've stayed with you because I wanted to help you find strength. Don't let it be for nothing. Let me have achieved at least that.
Nurse! Somebody, help!
What is it? What's happened?
Chaplain Morgan. He just suddenly collapsed.
Nurse, take care of the patient. Orderly, get me another nurse from the floor right away. How'd the operation go?
I don't know. Good, I guess. McNeil's the best bone man around, but that leg, it was a mess. How's Dan?
I don't know.
Running fever?
Low grade, but he's still in coma.
Mm. What were the symptoms when you first examined him?
Well, nothing too definite. He's got a surgical abdomen, no doubt about that. But what?
Did you get blood samples?
Waiting for them now.
You haven't been able to bring him to at all?
No.
If God owes anyone a break, it's to him.
A bitter young man, but then a very tired and exhausted one, and a deeply concerned one for a man who is as close as his father. Still, Dr. Michael Bernardo should know that in the eyes of God, all men are equal. Or are they? We have listened so many times to the triumph of evil on this program. Perhaps the power of good is not as strong. I'll return shortly with Act Two.
Do you think a computer programmer needs the use of his legs? New York University doesn't. They hired a man who's almost totally paralyzed. Yet they'll be the first to admit Tom Clancy's one of the best computer programmers they ever had. Of course, Tom Clancy's just one person, but there are millions of men and women in this country very much like him. People who have accepted their disabilities and come through rehabilitation with skills, determination, and a sense of responsibility. Yes, Tom Clancy's got a very good job. But what about all the others? The Director of Vocational Rehabilitation in your state has a file of highly qualified people in every field, ready, willing, and able to work. If you're not in a position to hire them, talk to someone who is. And next time there's an opening in your company, ask him to write the Director of Vocational Rehabilitation. His office is in your state capital.
A public service message brought to you on behalf of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare and the Advertising Council.
Welcome to Gurney's Department Store.
What?
Please announce your floor. This elevator is activated by your voice.
I want the maternity shop.
A 12th floor. Watch the door. Are you pregnant?
Yes. Are you sure you're a recording?
I am a recording. Have you seen a doctor?
Yes, at the beginning of my pregnancy, and I'll see him often during it.
Do you plan to follow his advice?
Of course. I'm not going to take any medicine unless he prescribes it. I'll get plenty of rest and do some moderate exercise.
And what about your diet?
I'll eat the right foods. Foods that are good for me and good for my baby.
12th floor, maternity.
Thanks. A recording. I'm talking to a recording.
Remember what the March of Dimes says. Be good to your baby before it is born.
Across Dan's bed, Dr. Patricia Shelton and Dr. Mike Bernardo's eyes lock in concern for their barely breathing friend. From beyond the curtain and the other bed in the room, from the big, heavily muscled, early middle-aged man in it, comes a rhythmic and ear-shattering snore.
Oh, great. That the best roommate we could find for Dan?
Well, we were lucky to have a bed at all. Even the standby rooms are all taken.
Now, get him off his back.
No, you can't. He's in traction.
Back?
Yeah. McNeil's patient, too.
From the train wreck?
No, he's been here a week or so.
Oh, I'm tired.
Why don't you grab some shut-eye, huh? We can't do anything till we get the tests back or Dan comes, too. Go stretch out in the lounge. I'll wake you the moment the tests are back, huh? Come on, I'll walk you there. How'd the operation go for Liz Riggs?
Oh, McNeil patched the knee fairly easily, but the ankle and the socket of the tibia were fragmented, plus the broken calcaneus. She'll be lucky to retain even partial mobility.
Which means no more dancing?
Certainly not professionally. I'd hate to have to be the one to tell her.
Hey, where is Sam Hill? Is that? Damn! Hey, you in the next bed? Hey, you're awake? What is this, a morgue? Hey, you!
Yeah? What is it?
I don't know what's with you, brother, but my back is killing me. I want to ring for the nurse, but the gizmo with a button just fell off of the bed. Can you get it for me, huh?
Just a minute.
Here, I'll get the call button. Shall I ring for you, or I'll get you a doctor?
Oh, forget it. I'm all right for the moment.
Yes, but you're in pain, you...
Oh, I can take it. What do you got, Mac?
I don't know. I don't even know how I got here.
Oh, I hope it's nothing catching.
No, I'm sure it isn't. I thought I had a... But there isn't any pain anymore.
Count your blessings, fella.
Dan, what are you doing out of bed?
No, I'm all right.
You are not. Nurse, help me get him back in bed.
No, I...
You're running a fever. And nurse, get Dr. Bernardo down here right away. He's catching a nap in the father's lounge on maternity. Dan, won't you ever take care of yourself?
Hey, what's the big fuss? Who is this guy? Ah, I was right. A doctor, huh?
Not an M.D. He's the hospital chaplain, the Reverend Dan Morgan.
A minister, for crying out loud. That's all I need.
Okay, Dan. Let me know if and where it hurts.
Oh, there.
Uh-huh. How about here?
Tender. Doesn't hurt as much.
Okay, Dan, that's it.
Confirmed?
The WBC will bear it out this time around. The peritonitis caused by a ruptured appendix that perforated. How did you ever take the pain, Dan?
Well, it wasn't that bad. Everyone was busy with real emergencies. My help was needed by others.
So you just let your appendix explode. All right, roll them to you, Pat. Streptomycin 2, nurse.
Your technique is too good, Mike. I didn't feel any needles.
Of all the bonehead stunts to pull...
So many people. I couldn't let them down.
Fever's rising. I don't like it.
You in pain still, Dan?
Oh, no. I was just thinking about that poor little dancer.
Look, concentrate on yourself. Let us worry about Miss Riggs. There's no problem of her losing her leg. Dr. McNeil did a bang-up job. With luck, she'll regain almost total mobility. Pat, mm-hmm. Will you sit on this stubborn mule till that kick goes out of him?
I will. Go make like a doctor.
At least my other patients treat me like one.
You still going to marry that crazy Italian?
The first moment I can pin him down.
Then I'll stick around. I don't know who he figures will be best man, but Dan Morgan knows who'll be the most important. Or I'll make sure he ties a knot within the faith with my own two hands. My own two hands joining the two of you in a silent...
Morning, Miss Riggs.
Morning, Dr. Bernardo.
Well, you look pert and pretty this morning.
Oh, I feel wonderful. I can almost feel the bones knitting. I could just jump right out of bed, do a jeté, or handle a waltz clog just like that.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't rush things.
Well, not without a warm-up, anyway. I bet you I'll be dancing in no time, thanks to Chaplain Morgan. How is he today? Is he better?
I wish I could say he was.
Didn't they take out his appendix?
No, not yet.
You mean it's serious?
It could be very serious.
Oh, I wish I could do something for him.
You could. You could see a young man who's waiting downstairs. Peter Starrett.
How did he find me?
As sick as the chaplain was last night, he managed to contact him.
He knows it's all over between Peter and me.
Why? Because you just can't bear to hang up those little red shoes?
Something like that.
I think maybe what Chaplain Morgan wanted to tell you was that a dancer has a short life. And sooner or later, she has to hang them up. A marriage can last a lot longer.
I can't. It wouldn't be fair to Peter or to me.
That's the message you want me to give him? And the chaplain?
Dr. Bernardo, I will be able to dance, won't I?
I'm not the one to ask that question to, Miss Riggs. You'd better ask it of the surgeons, Dr. McNeil or Dr. Bradley.
Morning, Mr. Wolf.
Hey. Morning, Chaplain.
See, you're out of traction.
Yeah. How you feel?
Oh, I felt better. Thirsty.
Now, hold it a minute. I'll get you some ice water.
No, you're back. You mustn't get out.
Yes, you can lug a busted appendix around and not complain. I can manage a stiff back. Here.
Thanks. Thanks.
You want some more?
Please. Yeah. That was good. Yeah. That's good.
Hey, what is it, Parson?
A knife. Knife!
I'll get the doctor.
Don't answer that. It might be Peter for me.
Could be a call for me, too.
But if it should be Peter, I'm just not ready to talk to him. Couldn't you just let it go?
Sure. Nothing so urgent it won't last till I get to the nurse's desk. I'll be seeing you, Miss Riggs.
Oh, ice water for a man with peritonitis. Where were you, Dr. Bernardo?
I went to see Miss Riggs. You know, the dancer.
Who is not your patient?
No, sir.
You don't like me very much, do you, Dr. Bernardo?
Well, that is a bit direct. Puts me at quite a disadvantage.
Because you've applied here for a residency in surgery? My personal feelings would not dictate my judgment of your qualifications, unless you wish to withdraw your application.
Not yet, sir.
Oh? What does that depend on? The success of our operation on Chaplain Morgan?
To a degree.
Then we must be sure that it is immaculately successful.
As far as I'm concerned, it's the same way no matter who's on the table.
I deserve that rebuke. I bought it because of my own resentments. I am human, not a robot.
You are kind of a stickler for detail.
You're damn right. A doctor can make minor mistakes, which can be rectified. Isn't quite the same with a surgeon. Habit, discipline, minute attention to detail, constant vigilance and objectivity. That's what a surgeon has to pay. Still want to be one?
As long as I don't have to retire from the human race.
Like me? That perhaps is a personal trait, but I have some reason. You see, one surgeon's momentary carelessness, his anxiety to look up and be a nice guy and assure me everything was going well, cost me my wife. And with it, a large part of me. Well, no one is very much interested in my immortal soul. Now, Dan Morgan is something else again. But for the moment, objectively, just another surgical problem. Agreed?
I'll assist to the best of my ability.
I'll accept that, Doctor. The patient is waiting. Shall we go?
The great poet, W.H. Auden, had a craggy face so masked with wrinkles that Igor Stravinsky once said, "Soon we'll have to smooth it out to see exactly who he is." Dan Morgan's face is like that. Only now, under anesthetic, it is smoothed out. The only difference is that as the two surgeons approach, it is less a revelation than a mask. The Mask of Encroaching Death. I'll return shortly with Act 3.
Way back in 1876, it was brewed and aged to deliver a taste, a smoothness, and a drinkability found in no other beer at any price. I'm talking about Budweiser. And it's still brewed that way today, with pride, without compromise, to be the king of beers. The largest selling beer in the history of the world, for one simple reason. That Beechwood-aged Budweiser taste. And that speaks for itself. Hear it talking?
When you say Bud, you say you care enough to only want the king of beers. There is no other one. There's only something left. Because the king of beers is leading all the rest. When you say Budweiser,
you've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Great Spirit, whose voice in the winds I hear, and whose breath give life to all the world, hear me.
The voice is Iron Eyes Cody of the Cherokee Nation. The words are a prayer first spoken 400 years ago by his people, a people who love the land.
Make me walk in beauty. Make my heart respect all you have made. Make me wise that I may know all you have taught my people, the lessons you have hidden in every rock.
In some Americans today, that spirit is reborn. Throughout the land, areas of thoughtless litter and pollution are being restored to their natural beauty. And yet we still have so far to go. So everyone must get involved. To contact the Keep America Beautiful team nearest you, write Keep America Beautiful, 99 Park Avenue, New York, New York. People start pollution. People can stop it.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
The operation is completed, and the two surgeons return to the locker room, still gowned, capped, gloved, and masked. With a quick practice move, Dr. Bradley divests himself of gloves, mask, and cap, dropping them in a sanitary container.
What are Dan's chances?
You saw what was there when we opened. The infection is massive and well-established. The drain should bring relief, I hope, more than temporary.
But once we can get a reading on the culture, we can pick the right antibiotic to knock out the infection?
If we're lucky.
If Dan doesn't pull through this...
If he doesn't, Doctor, I shall resign from this hospital. I was guilty of just what I demand from my staff. Total thoroughness on every case.
Well, in all fairness, sir, with 65 victims of a train wreck suddenly dumped on you...
It still doesn't excuse carelessness or inattention. No, I'm going to the recovery room to check on Chaplain Morgan. I might suggest you get together with Dr. McNeil and prepare Miss Riggs to face her future.
Yes, Mike, I guess I understand. Oh, he's here in the waiting room, all right, looking pretty forlorn. What? Well, I'll do my best. Yeah, okay, I'll talk to him. Hello, Reverend Sterrett.
Oh, hello. Dr.
Shelton.
Yes. Excuse me, I know the others, but I wasn't as sure of you.
Because I'm a lady doctor?
No. Because I only met you once briefly.
I know. Have you seen Miss Riggs?
No. She doesn't want to see me.
That's because she doesn't know the truth yet.
The truth?
That she'll never be able to dance again.
But he didn't tell me that.
He didn't know it then.
Just lives.
Reverend Sterrett... After the accident, your fiancé was in psychogenic shock. It took Dan, the chaplain, to persuade her to have any operation at all just so she could walk again. All the doctors agreed that since her career was so vital to her, The news that she didn't have one anymore had to be broken to her carefully.
Oh, I agree. Elizabeth has to be told the truth. And we've got to figure out how.
Good evening, Miss Riggs. I'm Dr. Hugh Bradley. I don't know if you remember, but I treated you in emergency and admitted you to the hospital.
Yes, I remember. How soon can I dance again?
Well, the first thing is to walk. As for the other, Miss Riggs, I think you'll have to make an adjustment in your mind. Now, I don't believe in hiding the truth from patients. There isn't a chance that you'll ever be able to dance professionally again.
Oh, good morning, Dr. Bradley. Did you have me on page?
Yes, yes. McNeil is off today, and his patient, Miss Riggs, had an attack of hysterics last night. I had to sedate her.
What happened? Was it Peter Starrett being here upset her so much?
Well, whoever he is, no. I simply told her something that should have been made clear to her from the first, that her dancing days are over.
Just like that?
Well, she had a right to know.
But abruptly, coldly... You just don't
Miss
say...
Miss Riggs is not under psychiatric care. She is of age, and we are doctors. Our function is to heal and inform. She asked for you, and I said you would stop by this morning.
Hi, Liz. Do you want to see me?
Yes. I want you to get Peter Starrett off my back and out of here. I never want to see him again, nor any of you.
Now, look, I just got the bad word about you, too. So you're not going to be Margaret Fontaine, or whatever. But you're not going to be crippled, either. And this way, there's nothing to stand between you and that nice guy who loves you, and...
Nothing to stand between us, that's for laughs. Now it's worse than ever. We just don't stand a chance at all.
What do you mean?
Oh, you wouldn't understand. No doctor would. That's why I've got to see the chaplain.
Well, all things considered, you seem in fairly good shape this morning. How do you feel, Dan?
All things considered, not so hot. But I think if Elizabeth Riggs wants to see me, I must see her.
Once we've licked the peritonitis... You're in no condition
I
to...
must see her to convince myself that I didn't fail.
And if you did...
There's no disgrace in failure, Mike, as long as you tried to the utmost. If I'm to be called home, let me try to go with a clean conscience.
You're sure you feel all right, Dr. Bradley?
Well, of course.
You know you're supposed to rest after donating blood.
I realize that. By some strange chance, the chaplain's and mine match.
Due for a replacement. I'll see he gets this particular bottle. Oh, hi, Mike. Where are you taking Miss Riggs?
To see Dan.
He's in no condition for visitors.
He was the one who insisted. And, just in case, I wouldn't deny him anything he asked. Well, I've wheeled it to you, Dan, although you shouldn't be seeing any visitors.
I wonder, Doctor, if I might claim the privilege of the confessional?
Well, not for long. You have less strength than you think you have.
And maybe Liz and I can find a lot of it between us.
If you hadn't been worried about me, you'd have gone back to the doctors for help.
If I hadn't been worried about you, I would have no right to the principles I serve. I should say principle. Will you still turn your back on him?
I'd rather talk about you.
There may not be much time to talk about me, so I have to be abrupt. Because I have so little strength left. Are you going to marry Peter?
I can't. More than ever now.
Why? Don't you love him?
I've always loved him. But I broke that love for a simple thing like a wish for a career. Chaplain, when Dr. Bradley told me that I could never dance again, of all the reactions that I had, the most definite and unshakable was that I cannot believe in a God who would take away from me the one thing that I have worked all my life to achieve.
Because of that, even though it removed another, less important barrier, you can't go back to the man who loves you.
Of all men, how can I? He's a minister like you, and I no longer believe in God.
Oh, Liz, I don't believe that. I don't think you're like all the people who put on religion like a Sunday dress just for the occasion. You can't deny him any more than I can. Or Peter. Because no matter how hard all of us try, in the end, we must have a personal God. Take him to your heart.
How can I? Forget me. How can he destroy a man like you?
Can't I convince you that death is not destruction? Certainly not. Not for me. What would you ask? A miracle?
I don't know. I don't know what I want. Just for you not to die.
All right, then. Help me to live. Don't deny him. Liz, I once prayed for you. Now, if you want, try to pray for me.
Oh, Chaplain, don't you see it would just be a mockery when I don't believe? Chaplain, are you... Oh, I've got to get the doctors.
Excuse me, miss.
Who?
It's okay. I've been Chaplain's roommate these last days. I was in the bathroom shaving and cleaning up to go home.
And you overheard?
Yeah. I couldn't help hearing some of it. And you got to listen to me. Because I got something to say.
No, I can't listen now. The chaplain...
It'll only take a minute. And the way I see it, maybe you can do him more good right this moment than all the doctors in the world. Faith and belief didn't put any fingers on you or the chaplain. The one on him, he put there himself.
I don't know what you mean.
I mean, when you were brought into this hospital, the chaplain was dying of pain. He needed a doc a lot more than you did, but he stuck with you. Even with his appendix exploding inside him, he covered it up to help you out. The poison's all through him now, and maybe he's dying. But if it is, it's a risk he took for you. To save not only your leg, but, well, all of you. Now, are you going to make the belief that made him sacrifice himself for you the way he did be all for nothing? Or are you going to give back something of yourself in return? Well, I'll go get the docs now and leave you to think about it.
My God, I have heartily offended you. I beg you to forgive me. I implore you to listen to me. I am nothing but he. This man is so important. I don't know how to say it, to ask it, but please, in your infinite mercy, dear Father in heaven, who looks after us all and wants to help us, please help this one man who deserves it more than any of us. Don't let him be wasted. I ask it with all my heart, in your name.
It's all right, Miss Riggs. Just take it easy.
I should have called you sooner.
Oh, forget it. As a doctor, I tell you it's all right.
You mean he's going to live?
You ever seen anything more beautiful than plain, ordinary sweat? It's broken. The hemorrhagic fever is broken. We're on the way.
He asked me to pray.
Whatever it was that did it, he answered.
He answered? You mean that God somehow...
The oldest cliche in the world, Miss Riggs. Man proposes, God disposes. No matter how far medicine takes us, in the end, that's the result.
Then the chaplain will be all right.
Just give him a look. Bathed in perspiration, his fever tumbling and blissfully asleep. Oh. We're all getting out of this lucky. Except you, maybe.
Oh, that's decided. Oh, it isn't all that much of a life as a dancer. As long as Peter is still around, if he still wants me.
He is, and he sure does. We couldn't have moved him out of here with a bulldozer. Now, we've only one restriction before you leave here. We expect to be invited as guests at the wedding.
Well, it won't take place without you. Because one thing I'll never give in to Peter about. The chaplain will have to marry us.
Why not? We might even make it a double wedding.
There it is. No sound, no fury, but certainly a tale that signifies something. A mystery. I think it qualifies for the title. As I said in the beginning, and as you have seen for yourself, God does move in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. I'll be back shortly.
The war's over. We don't have to think about it anymore. We can pack away those bitter memories. But what about the people who served their country? Can we pack them away and forget them till they're needed again? And can we tell those that are disabled that they're no longer of any use to us? If you're someone with a job to give, can you ignore the fact that over 1 million veterans will need a job this year? Or the fact that their alternative is welfare? What a waste of your tax dollars and their lives. These are responsible men and women with experience, skills, maturity. Even the disabled can still do a job well. The way to get this country working is to get people working. So if you have a job to give, call the National Alliance of Businessmen. Help America work.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
The Reverend Daniel Morgan did recover. Fortunately, because 4 anxious young people no longer wanted to postpone weddings too long delayed. It wasn't a double wedding, as once had been considered. Mike was operating the morning Liz and Peter were married, but he was able to make the reception afterwards. As for Pat's marriage to Mike, it was a very simple and quiet one in the hospital chapel. Notable for only one thing. The best man was Dr. Hugh Bradley. Our cast included Terry Keane, Patsy Bruder, Leon Janney, Robert Dryden, and Ian Martin. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
It was long before I could get to sleep, but when at last I did, if indeed I really was asleep, I was conscious of something huge and black circling by the foot of my bed. A monstrous cat-like shape that suddenly sprang. And I felt the stinging pain as if 2 needle-sharp claws had plunged like hot irons into my breast. And then suddenly my eyes were open and I thought I saw Carmilla standing there. The figure moved quickly to the door, and I followed it, only to find the door securely locked from the inside, just the way I had left it before I retired. I sprang into my bed with the covers over my head, and I lay there, more dead than alive, until morning.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Sinoff, the sinus medicines. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Stay tuned for CBS Radio News, which follows shortly. The weather outlook for Seattle, Tacoma, Bellevue, Everett, and vicinity, cloudy night and morning hours, but partly sunny afternoons through tomorrow. And cool with a high today, about 70. That is the high tomorrow, about 70. Lows in the low 50s. Wind southwest 5 to 15 miles an hour. Chance of rainfall about 10% through tomorrow. This is KIXI in Seattle, 910 on your AM dial.
CBS News. Senate leaders have made some progress in breaking a stalemate over restoration of arms shipments to Turkey. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Late Wednesday night, Senate leaders agreed to limit debate on compromise legislation to restore the military aid. Debate may take place on Thursday. It appears possible a new measure could be acted upon by both houses before Congress begins a month-long vacation on Friday. In Helsinki a few hours from now, President Ford will discuss the closing of U.S. bases with Turkish President Demirel. The president remains in the Finnish capital for the European summit. Turkish forces Wednesday moved to tighten their restrictions on the U.S. in reprisal for congressional failure to lift the embargo. The Turks denied some port facilities to American vessels and restricted overflights by some American planes. More news in a moment.
Quaker State your car to keep it running young.
When that promise was first made over 10 years ago, we knew it would mean a lot to car owners, and it has. But now these words have taken on a far more important meaning, because today, when prices of just about everything have risen, Quaker State Your Car to keep it running young means value. And value is a pretty rare commodity these days. Regular changes with Quaker State can help reduce costly engine repairs, repairs that could set you back when you're trying so hard to make ends meet. Quaker State is made from Pennsylvania-grade crude oil, the world's choicest, and refined an extra step for added quality. No wonder it's the number one selling motor oil. Quaker State. Available in more places than ever, now that you need it more than ever. Sure, our jingle's always been pretty music, because it keeps your engine humming.
Quaker State, your car, you keep it running young.
Federal Energy Administrator Frank Zarb said late Wednesday night there will be no more attempts to compromise with Congress on the issue of oil price controls. One of Zarb's aides said the FEA is going for total decontrol of oil prices as of August 31st. That's the date current controls expire. The official spoke after the House voted 228 to 189 to kill the president's latest compromise plan on the issue. Treasury Secretary Simon says the Ford administration will consider extending the tax cuts into next year. Simon says that may be done to help offset higher prices for energy. He also said the economy is improving faster than many people had expected, and the nation's total economic growth in the second half of this year should be between 6 and 8%. AFL-CIO President George Meany has strongly criticized President Ford's record for his first year in office. In Chicago, Meany called Mr. Ford an ultra-conservative who believes in keeping big business rich, embracing the philosophy that some crumbs will ultimately trickle down to the poor. Meany also said the president has done nothing to end the recession. General Mills, one of the nation's largest food processors, has announced an increase in wholesale flour prices of 1.6 cents per pound. The news is one of the first concrete pieces of evidence that the recently announced wheat deals with the Soviet Union will cost American food buyers more money. Congressman Richard Ottinger, Democrat of New York, is asking federal authorities to determine possible collusion and price fixing in the soft drink industry. Ottinger says his checking shows reason for suspicion.
Last September, the soda companies told us that higher sugar prices were the main reason for the high price of soft drinks. Now our investigation shows that the wholesale price of sugar went down by over 38% this year, at the same time that the wholesale price of cola drinks went up by 21%. I'd like to know the reason for this, especially since other sugar-dependent companies like Hershey and Peter Paul, two of the nation's largest candy makers, have lowered their prices substantially. Almost identical prices and price increases, in spite of a major sugar cost reduction, indicate substantial evidence of illegal collusion in the soft drink industry.
Congressman Richard Ottinger of New York. In Louisville, Kentucky, a federal judge has ordered a massive school desegregation plan for that city this fall. Judge James Gordon said the plan calls for busing about 22,000 pupils. Now this.
Miss Parker, music teacher, how do you spell relief?
When the acid indigestion hits me, I spell relief R-O-L-A-I-D-S, Rolaids.
Butch Mitchell, dog trainer.
For gas, I spell relief R-O-L-A-I-D-S.
Rolaids spells relief. Each Rolaids consumes 47 times its weight in excess stomach acid. Officer Hess, traffic cop. How do you spell relief?
For heartburn, R-O-L-A-I-D-S.
Rolaids spells relief. Use only as directed.
Hidden in the ranks of British intelligence is a double agent. His collaboration with Moscow has already caused the death of many key operatives. Who is this treacherous spy? Discover the startling answer in John le Carré's newest and most brilliant novel of suspense, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, the number one international bestseller. The author of The Spy Who Came In From the Cold now gives you the spy novel to which all others will be compared, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, a Bantam book. Wherever paperbacks are sold.
In its August edition, Money Magazine reports that residents of Wisconsin pay the highest state and local taxes in the nation. The report says the average Wisconsin family gets an annual tax bill of $3,219. The lowest average is for residents of Louisiana, who pay $662 a year. Generally speaking, the southern states have the lowest state and local tax rates. The highest rates are in the Midwest and the Northeast. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.